Well, will Max Pacioretty have a new home in Malibu or Manhattan Beach? Welcome back. Hour number three, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick along with Knuckles Nylon in all week. Sean Campbell as well, prepping for major draft coverage from Dallas. Gallo is returning from Aruba. He's arriving in Dallas. It's a travel day for him. He'll be there tonight, and he'll be on the air tomorrow throughout the day. And, of course, our draft coverage begins at 7 tomorrow night. Sean, Tony Marinaro, Dan Robertson in studio, Gallo on the floor in Dallas. And a reminder, at 7 o'clock tonight, Sean's going to stick around for a few minutes because that's what he does several times a week, it seems. At 7 o'clock tonight.
General Manager Mark Bergevin is meeting the media in Dallas. We will carry that scrum live for you here on TSN 690.
Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. ShipEnergy.com.
And he has arrived in Dallas ahead of Mitch Gallo. Pierre McGuire, how are you?
I'm very well, Mitch. Chris Nyland, Sean Campbell. Good to talk to all of you gentlemen. David Trentadue. But Sean Campbell, I just want to give you an update. I watched a ton of tape today on Rasmus Kupari from Karpat in Oulu. Solid two-way player, grinding kind of a guy. Got some slickness to him. I think it'd be a reach for him to go on the top seven, but I think I could see him being picked after probably the 10th pick.
The 10th pick. See, he's a guy that he's a name that I've been looking at just because just another center at this draft. I just wanted to get to know as many centers as I wanted to, and that's why I was curious about your opinion on him. And I've heard top 20, I've heard early teens, and I know the Canadians have 4 second-round picks. If they don't go with the center at 3, I was curious if they move 2 of those picks to maybe get in that area if they like him. I don't know if they like him or not.
Well, then I don't know whether they do or not. That's probably a closely guarded secret. But I would just tell you that I could see him not being picked before 10. I could see him being picked after 10. But where that is, I don't know. This is such a fluid draft. I think a lot of it, and I'll stick with what I've been telling you guys for a long time now, I think this draft is going to be about the trades. There are trades coming. I really, truly believe, based on the information I've been given over the last 7 to 8 hours, their trade's coming.
All right, I want to get to that and involving perhaps Max Pacioretty in just a moment, Pierre, but we know how you feel about Brady Tkachuk. Brady Tkachuk in a scrum earlier today with a lot of the other prospects, he was asked, and this would be a clincher, I think, for some fans, maybe even me. He was asked the difference between himself and his brother, Matthew.
We're both pretty similar, I'd say. And I'm a little faster than he is, and I'm a little tougher and more willing to be physical. I think he's a little fancier around the net with more around the, through his legs and stuff like that. But besides that, I think we're very similar.
I love that answer. I love that.
The Tkachuk family staying at the hotel where I am, and so I have to share this story with you. And Knuckles will appreciate this probably as much or more than anybody else. Keith slipped to the 18th pick in his draft year in 1990, and the only reason he went to Winnipeg is because of a scout by the name of Joe Yannetti. Nobody knew Keith Tkachuk, trust me, around the NHL. He slipped to 18, and he probably should have gone past 18, but Joe Yannetti knew him better than anybody else because he was from around the Malden Catholic area where Keith grew up, Melrose situation. Anyways, he broke his ankle his draft year. So Keith's here, and I had Keith in hockey camp. So at the Europa Cup, Chris knows very much about that.
Yeah.
And you knew how good that kid was going to be. But he was big, and he was plodding, and he didn't have a lot of the skills that you just heard his son talk about with the brothers going after it. But they're all staying here. So his sister, Keith's sister, is in the hotel with her daughter and the daughter's boyfriend here to cheer for Brady's drafting. So I'm just sitting in front of the hotel, minding my own business, and they come up, do you mind if we have a picture? I'm like, no, not at all. I have no idea who they are. And the young lady says to me, I'm Keith Tkachuk's niece. And the other lady says, I'm Keith Tkachuk's sister. I started laughing my behind off. It was awesome. It was so good. So getting to the Tkachuks, that's just how they are. They're bold, they're brash. And they're really proud. They're really, really proud people.
Yeah, there's a, and like a lot of people, I've been reading so much, and I apologize for not knowing where I read this today, but I definitely read it. Matthew Tkachuk was comparing, he was doing the opposite of what we just heard, and he was asked what he thought Brady could eventually be at the NHL level. He mentioned Jamie Benn, but he also mentioned that he could see him developing into a top-line center. Do you see that?
No. And I don't see him being Jamie Benn. Jamie Benn's completely different. I knew Jamie Benn when he was with the Kelowna Rockets. I knew Jamie Benn when he was on the World Junior team in 09 in Ottawa. He was a shot out of the dark. He got his opportunity in 09 in Ottawa because of Pat Quinn, the late Pat Quinn, who was a coach, who knew the Western Hockey League unbelievably well and decided to give Jamie a chance. So, no, I don't see that at all. They're very different. There's a physicality part to Brady's game that's not really apparent with Jamie's game. Jamie can fight if he has to, but it's completely different. Jamie's more of a slickster. He's good with the puck on a stick, and he can dangle guys. I don't see Brady doing that as much. I see Brady be more of a board-dominant player and more of a slot-dominant player than Jamie Benn is.
Okay, so I'm going to revisit the draft and some of the prospects. Tony spoke to Kotkaniemi today, so we'll let you hear some of that. But Max Pacioretty appears to be front and center with a couple of people. Ryan O'Reilly, obviously, yeah. in Buffalo. There's a lot of chatter, as there was at the trade deadline, involving the Los Angeles Kings and Max mm-hmm. Pacioretty. They were clearly interested in him at the trade deadline, which means they're surely interested in him now. You would think that the Canadians are looking for younger talent to come back. Chris?
A couple of guys I was wondering about, Pia, as far as L.A., and that's Vlade and the kid Dolan. Obviously, Vlade a lot bigger, Dolan a little bit smaller. Are those guys that, in a trade, in a deal, like if Bergevin was going to make a deal with L.A., say, with Max, are those guys that could be targeted? And are they worth going after?
They're great names from that roster in particular, from the LA Kings roster. I would see a better fit in the Western Conference with the Minnesota Wild than I would with the LA Kings. Minnesota's got far more offensive depth than what LA has in terms of organizational stuff. So I could definitely – both of those names you mentioned from L.A. are very, very good prospects. But I think there's a diversity of prospects with Minnesota that I could see happening more. Now, I don't know what Paul Fenton wants to do there. I really don't. I have not talked to Paul since Nashville got eliminated by Winnipeg. I was there to do the Game 7, so I have not spoken with him at all. But those are legitimate names, Chris. They're good players. But if I were the Canadians – and I was trying to do a deal on Max Pacioretty in particular, L.A. would be part of the equation, but I would see other teams having a better fit than L.A.
What about if you're going to trade Pacioretty? That's a tough sell, though, to this market to get prospects, as impressive as the prospects might be.
Correct.
Correct. Jake Muzzin and Shea Weber have played together before. Do you see – is that like out of this world?
I see that. I would be really surprised if L.A. would do that. Their organizational depth's not an offense. It's just not. And there were, a team that struggled to make the playoffs, obviously, this year, and they got swept by Vegas in the first round, and they didn't make the playoffs the year before. So I would be surprised if Jake would be part of that, but I could see it if they were that urgent to get the scoring from Max. I don't know that. As everybody knows, at this time of the year, there'll be a lot of stuff put out there. You try to make sense of it all. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Pierre, when Max Pacioretty's name's being bandied about via trade and with only 1 year left on his contract, what kind of haul could the Canadians think about? And what I mean is, like, pieces. And we spoke about a high-end prospect. Is that it, or would there be something else to it?
I know one team that said to me they didn't want to do the deal because they were concerned about the next contract and the comparables internally and what it would create contractually for them. So that's how one team saw it. Another team said to me, we'd be prepared to pay three assets, probably a draft pick, probably a prospect, and maybe an older player to eliminate some of the cap problems for their team and also, obviously – to get rid of a contract that they wanted to get rid of. I could see a 2-3 prospect or 2-3 asset kind of a deal with Max. I wouldn't see more than that. But I would say a lot of it is probably speculated on futures rather than just being one player or a contract. The hardest part with all this stuff now, and that's why the jobs become so much more difficult from what Bobby McKenzie does or Darren Drager does or Gord Miller does or what I do, is just fitting the cap stuff is really hard to understand. So since 2005, it's become so much more difficult. It really has.
Now, the other strong speculation, and we talked with you about this yesterday, Ryan O'Reilly, you would really hesitate to give up the third overall pick for Ryan O'Reilly in a trade. But if you throw Pacioretty into the mix and then, you know, like a flip of draft choices, does that start to make more sense? Or is Buffalo not even...
I don't see Buffalo being interested in Max Pacioretty. I'd be really surprised.
Unless they flip them. Right?
Well, I wouldn't even see flip. No, because I kind of know what Buffalo's looking at with other teams. And I don't see flipping anything. I see Buffalo looking at trying to acquire different positions in the first round without moving tangible assets outside of Ryan O'Reilly or potentially one other player who I'm not going to say because his name hasn't been put out there.
Buffalo. Sorry, Pierre. You want to finish your thought?
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Would you see if the Canadiens are clearly in on Ryan O'Reilly? But who would you say
I will tell you this. I will tell you right now, and this is the first time I've told you this, I know for a fact that the Canadiens are in on Ryan O'Reilly. That's the first time I've ever told you that, and I know it for sure. So go ahead.
So who would you say they would be competing with?
That's a great question. A fair one. Carolina.
On the surface, you'd think Carolina has more young talent to offer on the
maybe
than Montreal.
That's not what part of Buffalo is trying to do. Montreal, Carolina, Philadelphia, Minnesota, and I'll just leave it at that. Those are the ones that I know for sure.
If it's you say Montreal, you say Carolina, the one thing I see that they have in common is a draft pick that is very high right behind Buffalo at 2-3. Could that be the asking price for Ryan O'Reilly?
I would say yes, depending on how the deal is structured. The one thing that I would say is just remember this. This is the key component to all this, I believe. This hasn't been told to me. This is just my evaluation of it. Jack Eichel is their face of their franchise going forward. He is. He has to be. He's our highest paid player. He's looking at $80 million over the next 8 years of his life. That's what he's looking at. They need somebody to make sure that he's held to a certain standard. Boston University, and Chris Nyland can speak to this because it does matter. It matters a lot. People in Canada don't know about it as much. BU guys are really, they bleed together. They do, just like NU guys, Northeastern guys, where Chris went, or BC guys or Harvard guys. That's just how it goes. Brady Tkachuk's a BU guy. So I could see if they were able to do a deal where they knew they could get Tkachuk, Buffalo might overpay. They might. I'm not saying they would, but I think they might overpay.
Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, it's just it's interesting to see how these trades develop, and overpaying and underpaying. It really, I think it comes down to making that draft pick or not. Like, I'm with Pierre, and I was doing the homework today, and I was trying to circle, like, the top 10 picks most likely to move. And I circled up to five of them. Up to five teams probably willing to make a major deal by trading those picks. And I was thinking of Carolina, Montreal, Detroit, Vancouver.
I always felt, Sean, going into this, and I'm staying with this storyline just because of all the action I've had on my phone over the last 2 weeks, I think this will be the draft that people will talk about all the trades. I could be wrong. It could be completely wrong. But right now, it's unbelievable how much fodder is out there. It's amazing. It really is.
It's fun, actually, to have that's a bigger guy and very much stronger. So I need to be ready all the time because I need to read the game and be sharp. If I'm not, they will hit me, and that's not nice.
Yes, Barry, I don't know how much you could hear of that. Quote Kanyemi with Tony Marinaro on playing against men, and you know, it's not nice, it's not fun to be hit by men when you're 17 years old. And
I would imagine you were a fan of Saku Koivu at one point?
Yeah, he's a great player. He's a legend in Finland, so if Montreal will take me, I hope I can be like him.
Pierre, if in fact...
Hold it. Let's stop right there. That young man's not old enough to remember Saku. Let's not stop right there.
No, but that's he knows him. He says he's a legend in Finland. That's all I was saying. He said legend. That's how he knows him.
He is a legend.
Of course.
He is a legend in Finland. My goodness gracious. You know what? The great late J.C. Tremblay, I'll never forget him telling me, Pierre, you must remember, we drafted a player by the name of Saku Koivu. He will be a superstar for the Montreal Canadiens. I'll never forget JC telling me that over a bowl of garlic soup in Česká Budějovice in the Czech Republic. I was there with Doug Robinson and the late Jack Bowman. I'll never forget
Dougie
that.
Robinson. Yeah.
You remember Dougie?
Oh, yeah, I do.
I was on the road with Dougie and Jack and JC, and I'll never forget that in Česká Budějovice over a bowl of garlic soup, saying, Pierre, we drafted this player, Saku Koivu. He's going to be so good. I said, you're right. He's going to be so good. I'll never forget.
So J.C. Tremblay was part awesome. Of Serge Savard's scouting.
Yeah,
staff,
Del Wilson right? was there, right?
And Doug Robinson was the former player.
Del's a legend.
Del's a legend.
Is a scouting legend. Scouting legend.
Yep.
Didn't Doug Robinson lose an eye? Is that the guy? He did. Okay.
In Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
The Bees, right?
He did.
Yep.
So they had two great scouts who could only see with one eye. Doug Robinson and Claude Ruel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Unreal.
They went to games together, though.
Claude did more than scout, though. Yeah. Claude won a Stanley Cup as a head coach.
He was a developer.
Chris Nyland, how well he passed the puck, Chris.
Unbelievable. Incredible. Well. Pinpoint passes all the time. It's because it was like aiming a gun. You close one eye when you aim, right? So he did the same thing when he had the puck on his stick.
So, Pierre, Kotkaniemi, we're 24 hours away plus from the draft. Do you understand why there's been excitement about him? Or do you think it's a little overhyped?
No, I understand why there's excitement. Solid player. He's not Patrice Bergeron, which if you go back to 2003, Montreal should have been much better than they were, especially considering that, you know, he was playing in the backyard of the Canadiens in the Quebec Major Junior League. That was a major miss, by the way.
Corey Urquhart, yeah. Never played again.
That's why I'm just...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm bringing it up. It's just... That's just in the best draft of all time. They took Andre Kostitsyn and Corey Urquhart, 1 and 2, and Patrice Bergeron and Shea Weber both went in the second round. Anyways, Joe Pavelski went 205th in that draft too, by the way. So, anyways, you move along, just move along. But that's why you need to be an expert in your own area, and that's where I really believe. I truly believe this. When Chris Nyland, and I'm not saying this because Chris is on, when Chris Nyland and you look at all the American-born players that were drafted by the Canadiens by Ronald Corey, not by Ronald Corey, sorry.
Ron Caron.
Yep. My apologies. Ron Caron.
Prof Caron.
Those guys had it figured out. They went and scouted. They were experts in their area. They really were.
Richard Scammell.
So much respect.
All right.
Richard was unbelievable.
Richard was the college guy. Yeah.
He was. He was a great scout. But Billy Nyrop, you go back, even Billy, look at Billy Nyrop. Yep. Look at Brian Engblom. You go back.
Langway.
This is all Ron Caron's vision. Roddy Langway, who played at University of New Hampshire, out of Randolph, Massachusetts. This was all Ron Caron's vision. This is why they were so good. I'm telling you, Mitch, they weren't afraid to take players from different areas. Because they knew there were other areas that were developing players, but they were experts at it. They were the first team that really delved into that market. The next team was the Calgary Flames when they went and got guys like Joel Otto, and they went and got Jamie McCallum.
Suda.
You look at
Gary Suda.
Neil Sheehy. Gary Suda, Neil Sheehy. Like, go look at what they did. That's exactly what happened. But
that's a vision. That's having a vision. That's having guys that understand how to put it together.
So, Pierre, there's a lot of fans right now are kind of focused on Kotkaniemi because of the lingering center ice issue with the Canadiens, and they want to see the Canadiens grab him. But if there are moves made, if they pass him, if they still have a chance to get a couple of decent centermen, what is the difference, or how much of a difference is there between this kid, Kotkaniemi, and, say, Barrett Hayton?
Good question. Significant difference. I think Kotkaniemi is probably going to have a bigger upside. But are you talking about making... Now, this is where I have to ask you a question. Are you talking about making the playoffs this coming year, or are you talking about down the road? Because there's a big difference. If the Canadiens were... Let's just say the Canadiens were going to trade the third pick overall. Let's just say they were.
Yeah.
Again, this is all hypothetical. Are you trading it for the future, or are you trading it to make the playoffs next year?
No, you're trading it. You need, if you want to make the playoffs next year, you need NHL proven centermen now.
That's right.
Like
that's
Ryan O'Reilly.
So you don't take them.
That's what I'm talking about. So then maybe you can make a deal with a team to trade out of three, to move back in the draft, and potentially still get Kotkaniemi and get an NHL player that will help you make the playoffs next year. But that's what I'm talking about. That's why the question's hard to answer.
Since you've been there, and maybe it's a little different, and this feels like a different draft, as you've pointed out. How many different balls are in the air in going in different directions right now? If you're Mark Bergevin,
a ton. Oh my gosh, a ton. A ton of them, because he's got to deal with the Pacioretty situation. I think he's got to deal with a potential for
defenseman
third pick overall. He's got to deal with the defenseman situation, absolutely. I think there's a huge appetite around the league for Philip Deneau, so you got to deal with potentially that. I think there are teams that, if Montreal wants to make deals, people have interest in Philip Deneau. So it's going to be interesting.
Wait a minute. That's an interesting. Hold on. That's an interesting.
You haven't heard that yet?
No, yeah. I haven't. That's an interesting name to throw out there at this juncture. Philip Deneau, who seems like a fixture.
He's the perfect three-hole guy, right?
That's exactly right. So people are looking at Lars Eller. People are looking at Nick Bonino. What's a template over the last 3 or 4 years to win the Cup? And if you don't have solidification in the three-hole, because the three-hole guy's got to be versatile. He's got to be able to play as a two, and he's got to be able to play as a three. So you got to pay attention to that. And I think that if you look at Phil in particular, he's shown that versatility. But does he allow you to make a deal in something else that can make your team in your eyes better down the road? Something you need to look at. That's all. And that's why I hate saying names. But I can just tell you that his name's been brought up to me by more than one team.
All right, here's the deal. Let me give you this scenario here. All right, you're not Pierre Maguire. Well, you are, but you did all the same moves that Bergevin has done. You've been here 6 years, okay? You had a horrendous year last year. You're going into the draft here. You know you need a centerman, Mark Maguire. I mean, Pierre Bergevin. Pierre Maguire. And now, Pierre, you want to keep your job, right? So you're gonna draft for now. You're gonna stay away from Kotkaniemi, aren't you?
I'm gonna draft for now.
Yeah,
I'm going to make my selection.
You want to save your job? You have to, and you gotta get the team to play. Yeah, you want to win. You gotta save your ass too.
Well, yeah, even now, I'm not judging whether he's. We have to wait and see what goes down before we judge it. But even if a more prudent way to go about it on the surface right now is to go younger, as opposed to trying to win right away. And if you have a general manager, if you have a general manager who's just coming in and his mandate is maybe a little different, you know, the different philosophy, then you're taking a third pick overall if you have one. You're not thinking about how to improve now, right?
Are you meaning like Toronto would want to try to trade for the third pick overall? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that overall as an organization, where the Montreal Canadiens have been over the last 6 years and where they are now, that you might adopt a different philosophy this offseason as opposed to trying to improve dramatically now?
I don't know how they can do that. They're already seeing slippage in their ticket sales.
And you're tied to Shea Weber and Carey Price. I mean, I get it.
That's what I mean. I don't know how you can do that. I have a hard time understanding that. I think that the first time I've ever seen that is where a columnist actually wrote a story, I think it was Stu Cowan, about this is on Jeff Molson now. I don't know how you can do that as an organization. This is becoming a much bigger situation than what I think they were hoping to have happen. So I think there's a lot of pressure being brought to bear on a lot of different people in the organization, which we never really witnessed before with this group. So I think that's really an interesting part of it to watch going forward.
All right, so we will talk to you tomorrow from the draft floor, I take it.
I would hope, yeah. Unless something
Gallo.
Gallo's
having an issue, apparently. He just tweeted.
What? I have an update on Gallo.
He just tweeted 2 minutes ago at Copa Airlines. I travel a lot, and flying with you has been the worst travel experience of my life. And you have an update to that?
Do you want the official update from Mitch Gallo?
Yeah.
Okay. My bags. I missed the second flight. They can only get me to Dallas through Chicago. I have to sleep 6 hours in the airport in Chicago. I land in Dallas at 8 a.m.
Oh, I hope he brought his pillows with him.
What's Copa? I fly over 250,000 miles a year. What's Copa Airlines?
I think you get what you pay for. Thank you, Pierre.
Oh, my gosh. Great visiting with you guys.
Talk to you tomorrow. Whether Gallo's there or not, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, Knuckles, there's so many people down here that are wishing you well. I'm telling you, because I tell them I'm on the radio with you. It's awesome. A lot of old hockey guys.
Maybe you had
a dust-up or two with them.
Probably.
They wanted me to say hello to you.
Good. Thank you, Pia.
You're welcome. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.